بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, in last night's Taraweeh we commenced with what is known as أحسن القصص, the most beautiful of stories, of incidents, which is the life story of Nabi Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام. This particular surah is a Makki surah. It was revealed prior to the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the previous surah, Surah Hud, towards the end of the surah, Allah mentions two reasons for narrating the incidents of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. The first reason, وَكُلًّا نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Allah says that we relate to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the incidents and the life stories of the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam. The first reason for this is in order to fortify and strengthen your heart. In other words, listening to their life stories, the challenges, the difficulties that they faced, how their people belied them, this would become a means of tasalli, of consolation for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he sees the favorable outcome that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought for these Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, sometimes after many years, this also would become a means of fortifying the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the first reason. And the second reason, وَجَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْحَقُّ وَمَوْعِظَةٌ وَذِكْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That these incidents, these stories, are a reminder for the believers. In other words, they are life lessons to be taken from these incidents. Surah Yusuf, Mufassirin have written, enjoys three very distinct qualities that no other surah enjoys in the Quran. The first is that this particular surah was revealed all at once. The entire surah was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We know when it comes to the other surahs, especially the lengthier ones, then portion by portion were revealed. At times a later portion would come down, then an earlier portion would come, and Nabi alayhi salam would then arrange the sequence of the ayat. But Surah Yusuf was revealed all at once. The second distinction that it enjoys is that this is the only surah in the Quran wherein the life story of Yusuf alayhi salam is mentioned, and his incident is not mentioned in any other surah. Unlike other Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, after this we have Surah Ibrahim, where some details of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's life is mentioned, but his life is also mentioned in other surahs of the Quran. But here, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam's story is restricted to this particular surah. And the third virtue that it enjoys, or the third distinction that it enjoys, is that this particular surah narrates the story of Yusuf alayhi salam in chronological order, from the beginning to the end. Whereas elsewhere in the Quran we find, at times a later portion of the story will be brought, and then an earlier portion will be brought for various reasons. But this particular surah starts from the very beginning and takes us till the end of his life. There are many, many lessons, of course, that we can take from this particular surah. We'll just go through a few of them. In the very beginning, in the fifth verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the dream that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had seen, and how he immediately went to his father and related this dream to him. Ya abati, O my beloved father, inni ra'aytu ahada ashara kawkaba wash-shamsa wal-qamar. I have seen 11 stars, the sun and the moon. Ra'aytuhum li sajideen. I have seen them prostrating, making sajda to me in my dream. So he immediately goes to his father with great respect and love. Ya abati, O my beloved father. He trusts his father with this information. And look at the response of Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, who was the father of Yusuf alayhi salam. Qala ya bunayya, la taqsus ru'yaka ala ikhwatik. The very first advice that he gives to his son is that do not relate this dream of yours even to your own brothers. Fayakidu laka kayda, lest they may plot against you. And then, in order to avoid placing any blame upon the brothers directly, he says, "Inna shaytan lil insani aduwwun mubin." Shaytan is an open enemy to man. In other words, it's not that they will inherently do this, but shaytan may incite them, instigate them to plot against you. They may become jealous and envious of you. So the lesson we take from here, Mufassirin say, is that any achievement that a person has in his life, he should not broadcast it to all and sundry. Even those close family members, at times, they may also harbor some jealousy, some envy within their heart, perhaps not intentionally, but when they see our achievements and they see our progress in life, then this can become a cause of their envy, their jealousy, and eventually it can become a cause of our own downfall and some harm coming to us. So whether it be verbally saying it to them, whether it be posting it on social media, we've mentioned this point many times before, that we share all of our achievements on social media without realizing those people who are viewing that status or viewing that upload or viewing that image may be deprived of that bounty themselves. They may have been making dua for many years. They didn't get a chance to go for Umrah. They didn't get a chance to go for holiday. He hasn't upgraded his car in so many years. And I am posting this. This can become a means of the evil eye falling upon me and some difficulties coming into my life. So this is the very first advice that Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam gives to his son Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And thereafter, moving on, we find, we skipping many or large part of the story, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is taken by his brothers, they throw him into the well, and he is left for dead. Eventually the caravan takes him, he finds himself in Misr in Egypt, and there the wife of the minister seduces him, or attempts to seduce him, and they are then caught by one of the guards of the palace, and of course she then pleads innocence before her husband, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is wrongfully thrown into jail. But the incident that I want to mention is while he is in prison, two people come to him and they say to him that we have seen, each one of us has seen a dream, and we see you to be a trustworthy person, we see you to be a knowledgeable person, so can you interpret this dream for us? So the first person says that I saw myself in the dream taking grapes and squeezing them and turning the juice into wine. And the second person says that I saw myself carrying a basket of bread on top of my head, and there were birds that were coming and eating from this bread. So please inform us of the interpretation of this. But the lesson is, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam doesn't immediately jump into the interpretation. First he says to them that listen, soon it will be time for our meals in the prison, and I will not allow the food to come until I do inform you of the interpretation. But before that, I have a message for you. And he then proceeds to give them da'wah, to invite them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He explains to them, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمِ اللَّهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that I have abandoned that group who do not believe in Allah and who disbelieve in the hereafter, and I have followed the way of my forefathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, عَلَيْهِمُ السَّلَامُ, مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We cannot associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gives them a lengthy da'wah, inviting them to the oneness of Allah, before giving them the interpretation of the dream. And the lesson for us is that even in the prison, he still kept the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the forefront. This was still his mission, his goal, his objective, and he did not let this opportunity slip by. He took advantage of it, and he conveyed the message to them. Nevertheless, later on, he explains to them, or he gives them the interpretation of this dream. يَا صَاحِبَ يَسِجْنْ أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا. He says that person who had seen that he was squeezing grapes and turning them into wine, the prophecy is that in future you will become a cup bearer for your master. In other words, you will be freed from prison and you will eventually be purchased by someone as a slave, and your duty in that person's household will be to pour wine for him and his family. وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ, and the other person who had seen the basket of bread on his head and the birds eating from that bread, then the interpretation of this is that at some point in the future you will be killed and crucified, and your body will be left to hang, and while your body is there, birds will then come and consume and eat from your corpse. قُضِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. He says, the matter that you have asked me to explain to you has already been decided, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring into being in the future. And this is exactly what happened. And then because he knew one person was going to be saved, the person who would become the cupbearer, he says to him that when you are freed, then don't forget to make mention of me to your master and tell him how I interpreted this dream, because perhaps this will make him realize that I am of some value and I may gain my freedom in this way. And it so happened that the king of the time, shortly thereafter, also saw a dream, and he asked his ministers for the interpretation. They did not know the interpretation. And this particular person, the cupbearer, was there, was present, and he remembered Yusuf alayhi salam. So he tells the king that I will inform you of the interpretation. Just allow me to go back to the prison and to speak to someone. And he goes back, and then he asks Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam for the interpretation, and the incident continues. But again, the lesson is that when he had that opportunity to invite to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he immediately seized the opportunity and he did so. And then we commence the 13th juz. The first verse, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. This is now towards the end, when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is brought out of prison, and the wife of the minister is brought, and then he questions her, that were you the one who seduced him, or did he try to have his way with you? So finally she admits that I had seduced him. He was innocent. مَا عَلِمْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ سُوءٍ. And I do not know of him having any evil intentions. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is completely absolved, yet he still says, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. I do not have the guts or the bravery to absolve myself. I cannot claim that I am completely innocent, even though he was innocent in this case. إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِسُّوءٍ. He then says that the nafs, the inner self, continuously commands and instructs a person to do wrong. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. Except that soul whom Allah has shown mercy to. And by him saying this, he is trying to show that even though he's a Nabi of Allah, he's ma'asum, he's sinless, he will never have evil inclinations, this is because of the rahmat of Allah. It is not because of his own doing or his own purity, it is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah. Alama Shabir Ahmad Uthmani rahimahullah explains under this verse, we'll end on this point, the nafs is of three stages. One is what is mentioned in this ayah, the first verse of the 13th juz, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ. The soul that continuously commands a person to do wrong. There is always whisperings, insinuations coming into his heart, his mind, that break the command of Allah and engage in some act of disobedience, some transgression, some sin. This is the very first, the base stage of the nafs. Then when a person makes an effort to purify himself, to make his islah, to rectify himself, to avoid sin, then the next stage is it becomes nafs, an-nafsul lawwama, which we find mentioned in Suratul Qiyamah. Nafs lawwama is that when a person slips up and does evil, then his nafs rebukes him. He feels bad about it. He feels guilty. And he regrets doing that sin. And then when he continues to make even more effort and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy falls upon him, then it reaches the final stage, which is nafs mutma'inna, which we find in the 30th juz, which is mentioned, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ. Allah will address those souls that reach this final and third stage of purity. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ. That now when you leave this world, come to Allah in a condition that you are happy and Allah is happy with you. فَادْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي. And enter Jannah amongst my chosen slaves. So this is the effort that we have to make. Allah has given us the month of Ramadan and these beautiful moments, these nights, these mornings, the time of sehri, time of iftari, for us to make an effort to progress from the first stage to the second stage, and then to make dua to Allah, to shower His rahmat upon us, so that we can then progress to the third stage, and then a person's soul will be completely purified and cleansed. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.